Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey folks, this is Doug, General Manager of the Central Florida Ghostbusters in-game and Game Master and Showrunner of Ghostbusters Resurrection. It's been a long time coming, but all through October, we're unleashing new episodes of Ghostbusters Resurrection Season 3, Fear Itself. We're so grateful for all the support during this long unscheduled hiatus and so glad to finally continue the story. That's continue, not conclude. There's still a ways to go, and we're hoping to get the rest of the season completed ASAP. But more often than not, life and day jobs have me locked in a metaphorical capture stream. But we're gonna get there. It's the craziest adventure we've ever been on, and the night's only just begun. On behalf of myself, the Central Florida Ghostbusters, and the Nerdy Show Network, we hope you'll enjoy these new installments, released once a week, every Thursday throughout the month. These episodes were first released via the Omniverse/Nerdy Show Network Patreon. As soon as we have finished shows, they go straight to our supporters. And that's going to be the case until this season is completely wrapped. Patrons will get them first, and as soon as we have enough to do either another event release like this, or a regularly scheduled release, we'll release the new episodes publicly for everyone. If you'd like to get in on that action and support us, head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to chip in. I'm also really excited to announce that for the first time ever, we have t-shirts. Head to nerdyshow.com/gbshirts to be directed to our T Public store and check out our Goo Man Group shirts. These, of course, commemorate the team's European tour, with all the stops listed on the back. And it comes in both Ecto Green and Psychomagnetheric Pink. It was designed by a fan of the show, Joe Eats Zombie. We've also got a shirt featuring a Haunting Druden illustration by our regular series artist, Matt Hasm. One more thing. If you happen to be planning a trip to Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando, Florida, the entire GBR crew is making a pilgrimage out there on November 1st. So hit us up on our socials at GB Resurrection, and we'll see if we can stage a meetup. Thanks again for all the love in our off-season, and please don't hesitate to reach out. In the meantime, stay fit, keep sharp, and make good decisions.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you.
Visit nerdyshow.com/support to learn about our Patreon or give a one-time donation.
And if you'd like to open your own Ghostbusters role-playing franchise, head to gbrpg.com.
Last time.
Yeah, so last time, you guys had busted the Druden at Animal Kingdom, had brought it back, along with all the other Druden so far in the mobile containment unit. You dumped them into the regular containment grid at the firehouse. The dark matter generator was destroyed in the fight with the Druden at Wakaiva Springs, so that's out of commission. You decided that the next course of action should be to go to the airport, because that's where other reports were coming from, that, and also after that would be the VAB. You decided, before you left, to take the Ecto-1, the Land Cruiser, although it had a little bit of damage on the front from being pounced on by the last Druden at Animal Kingdom.
We're also bringing the truck as well.
Yes, you're bringing the truck and the motorcycle in the back. Briggs was driving the Ecto-1, and I guess who's driving the truck?
Josh, I thought.
Yeah, I think it was me.
Okay.
The Ecto-1's in not great shape, let's be honest. Like,
it took a hard hit.
Nothing a little TLC won't fix.
Yeah, let's get it.
That's a Toyota Land Cruiser joke.
You can open the hood, get a rubber hammer, and bang it out the center of it. Anyway, yeah. Mr. Book is still at the firehouse with me and with Alan Friedman, and we're still poring over all the notes, trying to figure out what the heck's going on, trying to give you guys updates. So you guys are on your way to the airport. Mr. Book's going to radio in and just everyone can listen in. You know, it's on the line. He says,
so I've been thinking all the Druden that we've been seeing so far, they have to be going to these places for a reason.
So when you're there, try and figure out what would tie a Druden to a location. There needs to be some kind of reason why they're all at these specific locations. It's too much of a coincidence.
Ley lines, I got it. There's magic ley lines running through the earth, right?
He says,
well, I do have a map of ley lines I'm looking over. Nothing is giving a pattern as of yet. Nothing is over any major ley lines. Major ley lines would be probably further south in Florida or further north. No major ley line really cuts through Orlando.
Why would they all be in Central Florida?
It's the happiest place on earth. They're drawn here by the
The Druiden won the Super Bowl of...
yeah.
Where are you going? Where are you just conquered this dimension. Where are you going to go next? Well, he says,
let's think about this. We've got Druiden that were sighted at the Botanical Gardens, Wakaiva Springs, Animal Kingdom. Sounds like there's one at the airport, which is why you guys are going there, and it sounds like there's something really bad happening at the Vehicle Assembly Building. And there was a massive PKE ping in Casadega.
That's right. That's right.
Mm. I'm looking at it on the map. There's no pattern visually. There's no shape. Something about these specific locations. I'm running out of ideas on where we can try to predict where the others might go next.
Earth, fire, wind, and water?
It's all been one of, like, plants, water, right. Animals. I'm going to hazard the guess and say that the one at the airport is probably going to be air.
So
at some point,
space.
Space.
What would be at a vehicle assembly building by the Space Coast?
The Fire Nation.
Everything was fine until the Fire Nation attacked.
Yeah!
Hell yeah.
Yeah!
That's where I was about to go.
Okay. I don't have anything.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that would put out more fire in this area than the shuttle's engines.
He says
that could stand to reason if the PKE of a certain area is devoted to a particular element of some kind, and these are elemental beings. That would totally make sense.
What's Casadega?
Yeah,
Earth.
It's like the center of it's almost like a commune of all these psychics and fortune tellers.
Wait, that's a real.
We need to bust this place anyway.
You guys didn't know about this?
No, never heard of it.
Okay, so like, wait, are
Mr.
we talking?
Book says
someone read the books I've been giving you guys. Thank you, Nina. I'm not sure where this is going to go, but I'm going to start looking into some history and see if I can dig up what these other elements might be, and maybe we can preemptively figure out where these other ones are going to go.
There was
well,
a lot
it's
of
hard because with their powers combined,
Sam Hain.
Or I mean, potentially, I don't know, void mind. If it's like a concentration of psychics.
Look, if there's anything that's a void of minds, it is a psychic camp. Let's do it. Let's go.
So, are you saying I'm going to fit in perfectly there?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get you set up with a little shop of your own.
You're going to retire?
We just keep his blood sugar at like 70 and he mumbles at people.
Zombies. Zombies going.
Butts. And the zombies.
Tell us more. Wise one.
You're running away in fear. Oh my God. The prophecies come true.
I'm just going to sit, clap, and laugh.
Did we ever get confirmation that initial zombie outbreaks that we had in the woods at the golf course, that was contained? We called in reinforcements from the police, and they
said they were going to lock it down until like the morning.
When you said golf course, I was thinking about the mini golf incident, and I'm like, those were golf balls, not zombies. They were not contained, sir.
I love how we have a mini golf incident.
Yeah. So... Whitewood's there. Can you just like?
No, Whitewood's back at police headquarters.
Right, right. Can Mr.
Yeah, because people died there.
Yeah,
remember we had a shootout with the cultists.
That's right. Somebody book Mr. Book.
And I'm on the line too because I'm there. It's on the radio or whatever.
Yeah, if you can follow up with that.
Yeah. I'll just say, look, I'll try and contact the police, follow up, see if there's anything else that they need. Otherwise, you guys do what you got to do. Let me know if there's anything you need from us.
Let's go.
Okay, and I also radio in after that, just saying
to specify when you guys get into the area of the airport, head towards Terminal B, because you guys are going to be flagged down and driven up to the control tower where they're going to meet with you inside.
With that, which car is leading the way? Ecto-1?
I like to be the first one in and the first one dead.
Okay, you got sirens.
I second that.
As you make your way towards the airport, the road is very empty compared to what you would see on a normal day. There's a couple of security vehicles with the lights on, but no siren going. But they're waving you in to this like taking off a side road. After you go towards Terminal B, you pull off a side road and you're pulling up to these other buildings. And of course, there's the main control tower. You park right outside it, and they just say, "Come on up. We're going to speak with you upstairs, so you can get in." As you go up to the top, you see the big 360 view of the airport. Everyone there in air traffic control is just frantically working because this is an emergency situation. So a man in his 50s approaches you. He introduces himself as Harold Clark. He is the chief of operations for the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority. And he says that there's some kind of monster in the sky that was attacking some aircraft. We've landed all that we could. We've redirected all that we could. We've had a couple people stick around who are just not listening to our calls. I don't know if there's a radio problem or if they're just flat out ignoring us. But this creature that's out there has grown in size from when we first picked it up to where it is now. And we haven't seen it for a good maybe, I'd say, 30 minutes. So I don't know where it is. We don't pick it up on radar. We've only gotten glimpses of it, but it is very large, and it is openly attacking any aircraft. Anything that makes too much noise, or like if it's on the ground, or if it gets of a certain height. So we're just trying to keep everybody calm. We've locked down the airport. We have at least 4,000 to 5,000 people inside the airport. You know, they're getting a little restless, but they understand there is an emergency situation. Do you need anything from us? What can we do to help?
All right, so like, I imagine the flight deck is clear.
Everything is clear. We have jam-packed all these planes into this close to the terminal as possible. We had people get out onto the tarmac and run in. Like, we evacuated as fast as we could because there was something attacking. There was a cargo plane. It was a military cargo plane that was off on a side hangar that was just, you know, taxiing out right when the attack started. Thankfully, no one was killed. There were a few injuries when this thing just came out of the sky and ripped right through it. It must have attempted to pick it up. And the wreckage is still out there because they've just fled the scene.
What is it?
Like I said, we haven't gotten a good glimpse of it. It has very large. It has wings. It appears to have large clawed feet that likes to grab things. Beyond that, we're not quite sure. It's very dark. We shut down all the lights out there. Tried to keep it as quiet as possible, and thankfully we haven't seen it because of that.
Guys, this airport rocks.
God damn it.
So, you said that it's growing in size, and so currently it's not visible on the radar, but has it been visible on the radar at all?
We've gotten weird signals, nothing that could determine the size. We would get blips that would give us a direction and speed, but before we could really get a good lock on it, it's just in and out.
So the perception of it growing in size is strictly from what you've seen?
Yes.
This thing has been attacking anything that's making noise, even if it's on the ground?
Well, we first originally had sirens. We had first responders out onto the tarmac. It would come swooping out of the sky, trying to grab things. The bright lights mixed with the loud noise. I don't know.
So we're going to go make some noise.
I think it's time for the return of the
Goo Man Group.
The Goo Man Group.
All right, guys, suit up.
I'll say at about this time, one of the air traffic controllers... you're hearing there's some sort of commotion happening where he seems to be arguing with somebody on the line over his headset, and he's just like, "Negative, you're not clear to land. You must stop. Like this, we're on complete lockdown." And you know, you can hear on his headset this someone's yelling, but they don't sound angry as much as they're just being like loud and annoying. And finally, the air traffic controller just throws off his headset in frustration. He's like, "He cut me off," and Harold goes over and he's just like, "Just what? Explain what's happening." He says, "It's the Gulf Stream that's out there. He's demanding that he's going to land, and he's cut us off. I think he's coming in for a landing. We don't have any landing lights on or anything. He sounds like he could be drunk."
Fucking Branson.
Harold seems to know who he's talking about, and he quickly turns to you guys and says, "Okay, this is a guy. This is a guy who flies his own private jet. Every Halloween, he likes to go up and have a mile-high Halloween party in the sky. And it gets a little bit toasted, but we can never really do anything about it. But now it appears that he's going to take matters into his own hands. I'm going to try to get him on the radio to get him to divert somewhere else, but I don't think it's going to work this time." So he gets him back on, and they're calling him by his call sign, and you can see that he's sort of rolling his eyes as he says, "Big money 69247, you are not cleared for landing. Please divert to..." he's going to give him to take him to the executive airport. And he comes over the speaker, and he's just like, "Fuck you!" And he turns, and he's just not responsive after that. Everyone in the control room doesn't know what to do, so he's going to say, "Turn on the landing lights, let's just hope for the best."
I guess, what airstrip is he coming down on? Which runway?
Well, if he's
we
on
should
terminal B.
Probably get out there.
He says, "You probably have a couple minutes." Based on his trajectory, he's coming down 18R. That's about 2 miles long. So if you want to go now. You'll see it. It's the only one with the landing lights on.
Cool. Let's do it. Let's go.
As you guys are about to leave, he says, "If you have any radios, put it on channel 2. And you can hear us try to talk him down."
Let's go. So who's riding with me? Who wants to ride in the get first attack mobile?
Am I driving the van, like the Astro van?
No, the truck.
The truck.
Okay,
so,
the motorcycle.
Super Duty.
I can do that. Sweet.
So, Nina, you with me?
No, that wasn't me volunteering.
Okay, so Nina and I in the Land Cruiser. We're gonna,
no.
We're going to ride into danger.
I guess I'll go. I'll go
Land Cruiser. Okay. So Briggs and Wall in the Land Cruiser.
Yep. All right, and then
cool. You want to get some bugs in your teeth?
Yeah, I'll take the bike, and you guys can take the.
You're gonna pull
truck.
The Tom Cruise and Top Gun as it comes landing down, just on the motorcycle. All right, you head back down, get in the vehicles. Again, they open some of the gates. You cross over like a small bridge that you know we're normally where the trams are going. You get out there, and just, there's just a clear path all the way.
We need to stay on one of the auxiliary runways on the side because if we get fucked up.
Yeah, you're on the auxiliary runway right before you're in fact right where a couple of the landing lights have come on. You can see the lights all come up, you know, all along the runway. You don't quite see him yet, but you're in position.
Now, do you need a ham radio or a walkie-talkie at work?
We do have radios in the ecto vehicles. We could definitely communicate over those.
Like, what's the weather like? Can we see up in the sky?
It's cloudy. It's overcast. It's pretty
overcast.
Cloudy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
we've got goggles. Goggles can see in the dark.
Look, God eyes. I command you to the sky.
Yeah,
man,
okay.
Go for it. Are you inside the vehicles? Or are you going to get out of the vehicles?
Oh, I'm going to stay inside the vehicle.
Oh, there's no point to get out of the vehicle. I'm going to do a PKE sweep just, you know, for funsies.
34.
We mean with the night vision goggles, you wouldn't want to look at the bright lights.
Yeah, I'm not looking at the lights, so I am looking up at the sky.
Yeah.
It's just like kind of like a broad sweep, see if I see...
Yeah, looking up at the sky, you're not seeing anything, really. Nothing that would suggest that there's something up there. You start to see the small private jet come into view. It's going to line itself up with the runway. It looks like he knows what he's doing mostly, if he's just kind of a little wobbly, but you're not panicked about it just yet. It looks like he's coming in. This might be another minute or two. He's broken down through the clouds, so he's on his way in. But otherwise, you looking around, you don't really see anything.
Oh, this place is clean. Nothing but jet.
Cool. I'm going to do just a little sweep with our PK.
Sure.
Neat. 36.
You are definitely picking up a signal. It gets super strong as you aim it back towards the control tower. And in fact, right on the control tower is where you have the strongest signal,
what,
by far.
What, like, what PKE are we looking at? Like
Druden level, class 6.
Class 6, okay.
Is it on the side of the tower?
I go, hey, Wall, looky over that-a-way.
Look at the tower.
The tower seems to be blocking, bulging out from the side of it. Is like this is a weird shape that's glowing very brightly. This has to be the Druden, and it must be on the other side of the tower. The tower is just blocking and full of cement and metal, and everything's gonna be blocking out of you. It's like a weird sort of cocoon shaped.
Ah, shit, we're fighting Mothra, guys.
Oh,
Hey, who has the radio? I'm gonna grab the radio. I'm like, hey, guys, you need to shut the radio off. You guys need to get down on the ground and very quietly get out of there. Now.
You telling this to the people at
the
control tower?
Yeah. Seriously, move quietly on your stomachs out. Now.
You hear him repeat, he's just like, guys, the Ghostbusters say we gotta get out of here. Just drop it, just leave it. You hear him telling people, just gotta move. And you hear him like talking to him, and it sounds like they're making their way out. Harold, he says he's gonna remain in the tower, but everyone else is gone, and if he's feeding for anything, so. Okay. That was a ghost eye I rolled. By itself, So I'll say at this point, the private jet is coming in. It's getting lower. You're starting to hear it very clearly. And while you're looking at the shape that's behind the control tower, you see it start to undulate a bit. Two very large leathery wings unfold and start flapping down in huge motions.
Cue Fantasia.
And these massive leather wings flapping, just blowing some trees with each, you know, with each flap. And this thing unhooks itself and takes off, and you're looking at what appears to be a giant bat, a bat-like creature.
Mike, what are we dealing with?
It's a giant bat.
Okay, so guys, I have nothing.
And as it lines itself up with you, like starts coming head on, you feel through the vehicles and through your own bodies what would be like the giant speakers in the beginning of Back to the Future. If that were to play dubstep, like
oh,
you feel
God.
It just ripping through you. No sound, but you just feel a and you can see the windows of the Ecto-1 and the truck just vibrating and shaking with each of this. So I'm going to roll for Mr. Druden as he makes his approach.
Oh, hey, that's a lot of dice.
Yeah.
That is a 37 for the Druden. So he comes over your vehicles, and he's going straight for the plane. So go ahead if you want to take a shot now.
No time for noise. So
yeah.
24 and a ghost.
I have 19 and a ghost.
17.
Well, Nina, since she didn't get a ghost, I'd say that's good enough to hit because it's swooping down close enough, and with a proton pistol and everything, you can get a pretty good aim. I'll say with Wall and Pool, you both fire at the same time, but as you both fire up into the air, the streams are pretty close, but you have a cross-stream inhibitor that prevents it from just happening like that. But I'll say that that affects both of your shots, so that you do get a decent hit on it, but I would say it's probably closer to the feet, maybe the back of the wing, not really a solid on the body. But with that, it's going to go right up to the plane, and it's just going to wrap its clawed feet around the fuselage, and its wingspan is much bigger than this aircraft. This particular Gulfstream has a wingspan of 63 feet, or about 20 meters. Looks like the wingspan of this creature is maybe twice that. It is huge. In fact, do we have a visual aid?
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Well, fuck that thing.
Whoa.
And of course, as it will dig into the fuselage, it's going to dip its snout inside and try and dig in there and try and get all the juicy innards. Its powerful wings will flap so hard, it just starts lifting it up into the clouds. You hear the engines straining, they start to smoke and fire, and it disappears up into the cloud coverage.
So like, we can't do anything about that. Our proton packs don't have that range.
Hey, Harold.
He says...
Yeah.
Do we have a helicopter?
Yeah, do you guys have a helicopter?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
We can get one.
Okay, we're driving over to the helicopter right now. Let's go. Fast.
It's an emergency. People's lives are at stake.
Yeah, there's a big bat.
He says,
okay, where do you want it? You want it on the...
Just...
Wherever we are.
Where is it? We'll go to where it is.
I mean, it's going to have to come from outside the airport and meet you.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
this thing
then
is presently preoccupied.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, he says
it's going to probably take 10 minutes.
We don't have much choice.
Yeah, I can't. Mm.
We can.
Well, I'm trying to get back on the radio. I'll say, big money, 69/24/7. Do you read?
We can. we're threatening.
Big money.
I'm not sure if he does.
During this time, after it disappeared up into the clouds, you see a big yellow flash in the sky, followed by a loud pop boom, and pieces of shrapnel start to rain down
big
on the
money,
tarmac.
No.
So,
a gray goose label floats down from the sky while I'm saluting with tears coming out of my eyes.
We should make for cover.
Hangar. Yeah.
Those are going to be in the opposite direction, away from the airport.
But, I mean, there is one, and you can see way over there, that's where it appears the wreckage of the one cargo plane that was cut in half, but there is a hangar way back over there.
Sure, we'll go there. I have no other idea.
Okay, you start driving out towards the hangar. As you drive up the runway, behind you and off to the sides, you can see pieces of the plane landing, smoking and everything, some of it a little bit on fire, but you make your way over to the hangar. And there are some people in the hangar, like the ground crew that would usually load planes and stuff. They're there wearing, like, you know, their vests and stuff, and they're just scared shitless in the back. They saw that whole thing, you know, and they saw that you're coming over here now, but they're out of your way.
We'll just have to wait for the helicopter.
Just hang out.
Yeah. Parachutes. We didn't bring ours. Do
no,
they
no,
have
of course
any?
Not.
No.
Do they,
and they will
any
not have
parachutes.
You don't want a parachute out of a helicopter. Man.
No, but if the helicopter...
But if you pull it while jumping out, the down... We're the air down from the helicopter. We'll just push your parachute onto your face and you'd fall.
Now, I was just thinking, besides noise, what is something else that bats sort of respond to?
Mosquitoes. They love them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you think that weird wub was its echolocation?
That's what it was. Holy shit, good call, Pool.
Because if you think about it a little bit more in terms of bats,
echolocation does fuck with echolocation.
Light's not going to do anything because
we can't generate that.
Sort of, if there is a way to distract its perception of where noise is coming from.
Well, I'd say inside a hangar is pretty good.
Maybe we could turn the siren on inside of it and see if it'll come and open it like a tin can, and maybe we could blast it.
I almost feel like this is a job for the military.
Just shoot it.
Just put, like, a proton pack at the end of a warhead.
Anyway, so you can hear the helicopter in the distance making its way over. He was instructed to keep low and come in hot.
Sweet.
So if you can hear it approaching, and you can kind of see it coming in low, and this guy seems to know what he's doing.
We got to make a decision.
Yeah, figure out what you want to
do. Well, here's what I'm thinking. Echolocation.
The bat will focus.
The helicopter's coming in?
It's coming in. It's almost here.
Cool. Yeah. We'll hop in and fucking zap people.
Well, I'm thinking about it. That thing could take us down in just one swipe.
If we're just standing out here, it could take us down.
Like, right,
we're not protected from it in any way, no matter what.
But I... more comfortable with my ability to dodge on the ground than static in a helicopter.
All right, the helicopter is landing.
Okay.
outside the hangar.
Well, I mean, we're not just going to leave. Like, that's the problem. Is we've got a job to do. People depend on us.
All right, so what's the deal? Like, I mean, I kind of...
Get in the helicopter and fly away.
Never come back.
You go to the beach and we wait it out. Wait for this whole thing to blow over.
I don't know, man. I'm usually super about. I don't give a shit. Let's
you
go.
You call
do...
the helicopter, and right, it's here. Right, it's on the
right,
ground.
Right.
Well, regardless, I'm glad we have it as an option.
Yes.
Start. It's running, and the propellers are going. The pilot gets out, and he runs over. You know, and he comes over. It's loud, and he's like, "All right, well, what do we do, guys? What do we need?
All right, give me this guy's background. What's his deal? Does he seem like he's snake shit from Vietnam, or? I mean, is he a rugged veteran? Is he James Cameron's helicopter pilot from Terminator 2? Or is he Bill Burr first day without his instructor?
Or is he MacReady?
MacReady's rock solid.
He seems to be pretty serious. He's not wearing a civilian clothing. He looks like he's in a kind of like work suit, like a kind of he's in coveralls. The coveralls are a little dirty, like he may be working on an engine. The way he came in real fast, low over those trees, makes it seem like he knows what he's doing. He didn't falter on the way in.
You ever fly in combat where you had a gunner?
No, I flew in the Air Force, but not in combat.
Well, all
right,
figure it out.
Let's combine plans. So why don't we have one of the cars with the siren in the hangar making noise and the helicopter ready to do flybys with whoever's ready to fire at it.
Yeah, we just need to pull this thing down and have some kind of way to like chase after it. We don't need to go up into the clouds to
chase it.
Well,
it's big,
now.
But we got tethers. Yep. So let's see what we can do if we get it.
We got to get to the ground.
Well, let's try.
I'll say, the helicopter's been running this whole time, and you're going to start to feel these vibrations rippling through your body, and even over the sound of the helicopter still sitting outside, the metal covering of this hangar just vibrates in time with the ripples going through.
The helicopter is kind of like a giant mosquito.
Yeah. Okay, well, Nina and I need to stay on the ground because we need to tether it, so who wants to get in the helicopter?
Mike and Josh, and I can stay
on. Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I'll get in the helicopter.
All right, so I'm going to get the Ecto-1 inside the hangar now, and you guys should get in the air.
All right, Nina and I will be on the ground ready to fire tethers to try and keep it in place.
Get in the helicopter with Josh.
So I guess I'll sit in the Ecto-1 and just rev the engine and be on the loudspeaker making as much noise as I can.
All right, so you're talking to the pilot. He says, all right, man, my name's Amaro. Follow me. So he leads you in. And he's like, what are we doing? He really doesn't know what we're up against.
Oh, yeah, I'm explaining it to him. Like, there's a giant bat thing that's flying around killing people and eating planes. And it's a ghost. So we're the Ghostbusters. And we really need your help.
Where are we going? Just up?
Yeah, just up.
So he's like, buckle up, I guess. And he seems worried, but he trusts that you guys are professionals, so, you know, he's joke's on him.
Yeah, I strap myself to whatever safety harnesses they have on the it's open on the sides, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Then, I hook up immediately.
Are you going to maximum buckling?
Maximum buckling.
Okay.
I'm going to loop my foot through, like, a bag that's on the floor.
So he's gonna start lifting off and starts just taking you just straight up until you want to, you know, he's looking and you guys are looking too, but while you at least have your goggles.
Yes.
Yeah, and I got my walkie. I'm just going to be relaying what I see as
okay.
I see it.
Meanwhile, in the hangar, what's going on in the hangar?
Nina and I are just on the ground, I guess at the entrance of the hangar, ready to tether.
Because you're kind of splitting up and you're both making a noticeable amount of noise, I'm going to just roll for this to see what attracts it. I'll say evens, it's the helicopter gets attention, and odds, it's the hangar itself that gets the attention. All right, so it rolled 3. As you guys are up in the helicopter, Amaro, he's just like, I think I see something. And as you look off in the opposite side, sort of where Wall is, you could see with clearly through your goggles, it's coming around, making a banking turn, and it's going to seemingly go under the helicopter because you guys are pretty high up at this point and just go straight for the open hangar doors.
As it's coming towards the helicopter, can I fire off a pot shot boson dart, see if I can get it to...
It will be coming directly under you, so yeah.
Yeah, oh, so sure. I should have...
Do I see it as well?
Sure,
hope
yeah,
I have
yeah,
enough
yeah.
of an angle at it.
Josh drops a trap.
18.
As it's about to come under you, you feel a little bit of the vibration through your body. It swoops under, and just as it's like... Not directly under you, but as it's like right under there, it's taking up most of your view. You just fire a shot and you hit it square on the back.
Yes.
And it does seem to kind of let out a screech like a little bit, like you socked at one pretty good. And then if it's going to continue on the other side. And Forge, you're going to take a shot.
15.
That wasn't enough to hit it because it's coming under. And it's you're on your side, you can see the open hangar and it's coming down towards it. You can hit it right as it goes under you.
All
right,
I come on over the radio and I go,
"We got it pretty good, man. It's coming your way."
And I'm just like, "Okay, thanks."
Nina and Poole, you guys are standing inside the hangar just towards the front. You have your slime blowers and you have proton pistols. You can clearly see it's coming down, mouth open, wings out, full blast. So now is the time to do something.
This is like something out of Dark Souls.
All right, yeah. I'm going to tether the ground in front of the hangar and try and get the second part on the monster. Oh,
okay. Nina, are you using slime or the proton pistol?
I'm going to try and do the same thing as Poole on the other side.
Okay.
19.
And 12.
Both of you can easily hit the ground on this side. With a 12, I'll say that as it's coming down, you can get like maybe like the front flat of its wing, but it's not that good of a spot, but it's okay. For Poole, you had a 19. It didn't quite sail through the air the way you were expecting, and it kind of hit it on like the shoulder where the wing really meets the torso kind of thing. Each of you just roll 4 regular dice to see the strength of the slime.
I wish that hadn't happened.
23 combined.
Really?
Yeah.
Combined.
This was literally 46.
Double.
So, yeah, you hit it, you know. But as it comes in down low, mouth open, and it actually doesn't look like it's going to go into the hangar, but you guys are starting to kind of like lean out of the way because it's coming in full force. At the last second, it pulls up just enough so that its jaws clamp down on the front of the hangar and feel a line just ripping the roof off in a straight line. It just zooms away, and the slime tethers snap like no problem as it makes its way.
Man, this thing sucks.
What if we, you and Nina, get into the Ecto-1 with me? I drive around again, making the noise. It's seemingly have some portion of his attention, so we can maybe get it to follow us, and you guys can just tether its wings maybe together while it's flying.
I don't know if tethers are going to work on this thing right now. I got to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, like we could hit it, but the strength is going to be the problem. So, okay, how about we do this? I'm going to hop on my motorcycle. I'm going to turn the siren on, make all the noise. You turn your siren off, and you can follow behind me, ready to shoot it as it's coming towards me, because I can look in like my mirror, and I can move a lot faster if it's coming down
That's
towards
true.
Me.
All right.
And you guys can...
Nina, you get in the Ecto-1
follow
with me.
In the... So.
Okay.
And you get your proton pistol already.
Gotcha.
So up in the helicopter, you guys saw all that happen in one motion. rip it open, and you can see the Ecto-1 down in the hole, you know, and this long line that was ripped apart.
Makes a little sad.
I walkie Josh and tell him that I'm doing that.
All right. Well, I let the pilot know.
So what do you tell the pilot?
I was like, look, we're gonna be following the motorcycle.
And I shut my lights down, and siren off and whatnot.
Yep.
Pilot, he starts to maneuver around so that he's hovering over the hole, facing forward. If the motorcycle were to leave the hangar,
sounds good.
Comes down fairly low.
I'm assuming walls keep him watch.
Yes.
He was like, I've got my goggles on, so I can see in front of me.
The pilot, he says, "Could you just keep an eye on R6 because that thing went off in that direction, and if it comes back, I'd like to know about it."
No.
Ecto-1 is going to be behind him, or are you going to stay?
No, I want to be behind him, but I'm going to follow at a decent clip, completely dark.
Because he's bait.
Yes.
Okay.
And I all lights are off, everything's dark.
So Poole, you straddle off the bike, and you kick the lights on and the siren, and you start screaming out of the hangar. The guy's up in the helicopter, you see him go. He starts going right down the auxiliary runway onto the main runway. You're going fast. Helicopter is hovering and waiting. Wall, if you wanted to take a look.
Yeah, 27.
Yeah, you see he's definitely coming around. Like, he did leave over the marshlands. He has since turned around. He is coming back, and it seems that it's working. He's making a line for Poole, where you guys are sort of still over the hangar. He's coming in from the side, trying to line himself up over where Poole is, and Poole's cooking. He is going. You can definitely see the shape moving. Because it's a sort of overcast, you know, overcast night against the clouds.
Peeling away around
clouds,
it or something.
Clouds are like a really dark kind of yellowish amber because of like streetlights and stuff like that.
Right.
So you can definitely see a silhouette. Now, so he's out there. Are you gonna drive out after him?
Of course.
Okay. So you start driving after him. The guy's in a helicopter. You want to send him to go right after Ecto-1?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Well, in that case, so Amaro, he rolled a 24 for his helicopter piloting skill. So he's like, all right, hang on, guys. And he just dips it forward, and you just start going real fast to try and get up behind this thing. He's it's hard to read because you guys are in the back on whether he's like actually terrified or not, but he's coming up on it pretty fast. He is sort of behind it because the bat is coming down. You're kind of rising up to meet it. He'll pull you guys. He's like, you want to get over it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. So he brings it up over it. So you're at a pretty good position. You're like above it and behind it just enough where if you want to lean, you have to kind of lean out, but you can take a shot.
All right, cool. Tuck your ears in. I'll spend 3 brownie points.
Oh, Michael. Oh, you're me right now.
That's disappointing.
Holy shit.
I have 12.
31.
LaForge fires first, and with a 31, you just nail it, like, at the base of the neck, and it, in mid-flap, just flinches and lets out a screech of pain. And with Wall, I would say that the way you had it timed, you fire, but just the wings flap, and maybe as in a response to its flinching with LaForge's shot, it just goes under the wing, shoo, it sails past, and hits the ground behind Poole's motorcycle, where you can feel an impact and maybe the heat of it hitting, but just kind of the wheels kind of for a second, you're still going forward.
This is exactly how I wanted this to play.
All right. So, meanwhile, Ecto-1 is peeling. You peeled out of the hangar. You are in line. You can see the helicopter took a couple shots and hit it. It's swooping down. I'll say this is another, before the combat gets to the bat, this is your guys' last chance to try and hit it before it does its roll.
Do I need a roll to drive? Do I?
If you want to get Nina into position where she can shoot.
Okay. Nina, hold on to your butt. Damn, my driving is good.
Holy shit, your driving is really good.
Whoa.
Hey, Nina, if you're going to take a shot, go ahead and get your dice ready so we'll...
44.
Damn! So go ahead, Nina. He's got you right in a good spot. So, yeah. Pistol, boom, straight up, like right on the stomach as it's flapping over. But it still has to make its move now onto the motorcycle.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, John?
I know.
That's 50. Wow. To dive bomb onto the motorcycle.
All right, I'm spending 3 brownie points.
For dodge?
For dodge. 44.
You can feel the waves rippling through, like whoop, 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 speeding up because more waves are hitting you because your dodge was unsuccessful, so it does hit you. Okay. The brownie points required to stop this would either give me 2 traits or 4 brownie points.
All right, I'm going to do the traits. I'm going to lose 2 muscles.
As it comes over, just under to scoop under you, it's going to just bite the back of the bike, like right on the tire, and you can just feel it back end just being lifted up, and you start to tumble forward. You've got your helmet on, and you're going to just go sailing across the concrete runway here, and you're going to go for a little while until you finally come to a stop, and it hurts. It's pretty bad. Meanwhile, everyone else can see as it just lifts the motorcycle off into the sky, and it's just going to just try and take it up into the air and try to eat it.
Piss.
Goodbye. Ecto fun, we hardly knew ye.
Real quick, I'm driving really fast behind him.
Uh-huh. You see this happen.
And then I kind of park real cool next to Pool. I go, get in.
Get in, loser.
We're going busted.
Sorry about your bike.
By the way, I give him my proton pack.
So you're hurting, and your jumpsuit is definitely got some holes in some places, like on the elbows, knees, and on the back a little bit. It's going to be tough for you to get up, but you can at least. They're going to open the side door for you if you want to climb in.
Do we have some sort of medical kit or something?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a first aid kit in the car, but we'll have to deal with that after this giant monster's taken care of.
I'm trying to apply a Band-Aid, goddammit, slow down!
Well, I mean, we got to keep mobile. We're sitting targets, so...
So if it swooped down, picked up the bike, and went this way, rather than continuing to follow it and head towards where people are, why don't we turn around and lead it back towards the hangar?
That's a good idea.
And then we know it's going to be coming from that
So start
direction.
To give chase
yeah.
a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so you turn it around, you start heading back towards the hangar, and you can see that it is flying off up beyond the clouds, that is, and you're going to make your way there, and I'll say if the helicopter's following, there's not much else to do except for prepare for this thing to come back around. The Druden has probably swallowed the bike, turned around, it's coming back down through the clouds. He seems pretty pissed off, and he seems like he's not going down too low. It looks like he's coming towards the helicopter. So now is your chance.
It'll be easier to get a shot off this time, I think.
I hope so.
Okay, then I'm going to do a boson dart.
Yeah.
I'm going to aim for the mouth, but if I miss, I might get the body.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Not a great roll.
I'll say you hit the wing.
I winged him?
Yeah, you winged him a little bit. wall. You're going to take a shot?
I'm going to spend 2 brownie points.
Okay.
And also going to let loose with a boson.
It was turbulence. That's why it was this, the moon was in my eyes.
The moon was in my eyes.
27.
Ooh, no, that's good. You hit it right on the side of the face, and it's going to really flinch hard at that and let out another screech of pain. But with that difference of 12, its feet are going to come forward, and it's going to just latch on right onto one of the sides of the helicopter. And you're going to hear the engine immediately struggle, and you're going to start to immediately bank to the left, getting off kilter.
Did we not have time to take a shot?
Because you're slowing down now, and the helicopter, you see the helicopter, it got hit. Let's just say the back of the bat starts to face you as the helicopter is spinning. So, Nina and Pool, now's a chance to take your shot out of the back of the Ecto-1.
All right, and I'm using Briggs's proton pack to shoot a boson dart.
Damn, yeah.
The boson dart hits it. Definitely another screech in pain, but with the loud cacophony of the helicopter and the engine and everything, Nina fires her shot, hits it square on the back. But I'll say this helicopter just starts to spin, and as its feet are latched on, it's the top of its wings, the little hooks, are going to try to hook onto it, and it's going to try to stick its snout into the helicopter where you guys are, and you can get a sense of like the teeth on this thing, and a tongue starts to dart through and get into the cabin here.
So when the tongue's like reaching around, I'm just gonna take the slime grenade and just be like, oh, this is my arm.
The world's turning here. It's flipping, you know.
Yeah, but
like,
its face is bigger than the side of the helicopter.
Yeah, so go ahead and give me a moves roll to see if you can land it in there.
13.
That's like just enough for me. So, it'll just go down, straight down its throat. It doesn't even probably even realize that it even swallowed anything. And it'll go off, but we'll deal with that in a minute. But I'll say in the meantime, the helicopter is spinning and you're starting to feel the G-forces of going down. And I'll say if the slime grenade goes off, it'll go off inside it. As it's there, it grimaces and some slime just goes through the nose, like outside. And it just like just completely shakes its head and then just lets go of the helicopter and just drops away.
I'll say, you didn't see that coming.
So it starts to wobble, kind of try to right itself, and there he's up in the front. He's just fighting the stick, and you hear the, you know, beep, beep going off, and it's a struggle. It starts to right itself just before it gets to the ground, but it's going to land with a really hard pop, like onto its legs. The legs are probably going to bend under the weight of this thing, and the tail's probably going to hit the ground and, you know, kick up some sparks from the off the concrete.
Sweet.
Give me a trait or 2 brownie points for the hard landing damage.
I'm losing 1 cool.
That still sounded pretty cool.
I'm gonna lose 1 brains. We spun around a lot. I'm a little dizzy.
So Amaro is up in the front. He got thrown around, but you're settled now. Meanwhile, everyone in the Ecto-1 can see that as the Druden let go and like took off, it seems to be having trouble. It's not going up very high. It's kind of staying low to the ground, but it's going to try and make another banking turn one final time. There's probably a minute before he's going to be back.
Obviously, we're seeing this, and we just...
Mm-hmm. You can spin around and
go to it as fast as possible, because we got to get them out of there.
Okay, so as you hobble out, Amaro's with you. You're going to just pile into the Ecto-1 here, and I guess where are you heading?
The longest straight that we can to give this...
Would still lead back to the terminal.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's okay.
Back windows are still open, so go ahead and prepare yourselves if you want to fire another shot as this thing's coming at you. He's on his way down as you're waiting until he gets close enough to where you feel like you can take a comfortable shot. Let's see what everybody did.
26.
Who else?
9.
And Nina?
12.
And Wall? 20. So 3 bosons and 1 standard stream. This thing, as it's coming down, even though it rolled a 38, because you hit it with that much, that's going to take it below 0. The wings are just going to fold back. And it's just going to go straight over the Ecto-1, and it's going to go careening towards the terminal, and it's going to land on top of the airport on the roof somewhere. A little bit of dust comes up from the hit on top of the building there, maybe a little bit of gravel that's on the roof, but it appears to be down.
How do we get up there?
I'm just grimacing, going, eee.
Well,
time to go collect.
Why don't you drive us towards the terminal, and we'll find roof access.
Can I roll a drive to get there quickly?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, drive up to the roof.
Now,
he recoiled from
the desk. I'm just going to point out. He didn't ask for a drive roll. You asked him to roll.
I like to drive. 18 and a ghost.
You drive there fine. The ghost eye. We'll see when you get there.
Fuck, I know what it is.
All right.
I was hoping.
You want to tell us? You want to tell us what it is then?
No,
you
know I don't know. No.
The body of big money. 69/24/7 lands on the hood.
And with a parachute. Yeah.
Best Halloween ever.
Lands next to the Druden. Hey, ugly.
Woke up next to you last year.
Oh my god.
So you drive up to the terminal. You can see that there's some commotion and some people are spilling out of like some emergency exits. There's a way you can get up in there into the terminal, up a couple stairs.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go charging up. Go through some of the doors. You find yourselves in the east atrium of the airport, and this is basically that main lobby area where the Hyatt Regency is, the
giant tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the trees and the fountain, and everyone is like scattered. Like it's like thousands of people in here. They're all scattering, and it's a struggle just to weave through. But as you enter the atrium, you look around, and as everyone is leaving, you can see little shards of broken glass, and as you look up, the giant skylight is where this Druden has landed. Some of the metal beams have bent inwards from the impact, and it appears to still be breathing, but it is out.
So you think it's easier for us to get up there or for us to get it down here? I mean, that ceiling's fucked already. All right, so
let's try to get up there.
Yeah.
You can go up some stairs. Up top there is a helicopter landing pad, and there is the body of the Druden laying on top of the glass skylight there.
I pass my pack back to Briggs. I'm gonna shoot it with my pistol.
As you do, the spirit leaps out of it. It's kind of a weird, unformed shape at first, but it starts to morph into something that looks bat-like. The physical body itself starts to fizz and bubble and shrink down into that same smooth stone that you've seen many times before.
Is it the streams? Let's stream it up.
Let's do it.
So whoever has a regular proton stream.
I will help stream.
Okay, you both then. All right, all three of you have it. You pop the trap open, lower it in, done. And the trap closes. You've got it, and that's
all,
smooth,
folks.
Yeah, that's smooth. the smooth glass-looking stone is there, right, ready to pick up.
All right, so we already have.
Pick it up.
I think both slots of the Buster Sword have been filled already.
So Bangle.
Yeah, Bangle. That's my next move.
All right.
At this point, by the sheer stress and craziness of everything that's happened, the glass atrium will shatter and the rest of it will fall down. Thankfully, there's no one down there. Everyone's left.
And there's no 10,000-pound winged creature to fall down there.
Correct.
With it.
Correct. The glass will shatter and fall. And around that time, Briggs will feel his phone vibrating somewhere inside his jumpsuit.
Okay, cool. And then I go, hi.
She goes, hey, I haven't heard from you in like a couple hours. Is everything okay?
Yeah, things are good. We're at the airport.
Coming to visit.
Are you done? Is everything okay? Are you going
to
be safe?
We have to go out to the coast for one job, and then we're good. But we're good. We're good. We're safe. We're safe. Everything's great.
Okay, call me when you get there.
I will. We will call you when we... I will. Me. Briggs. I will call.
Okay.
She says...
Okay, please. I'm still super worried on the news. They're showing it's all kinds of crazy things, so I just want to know that you're safe. So I'll let you go, but please be safe. I love you.
Love you, too.
She hangs up.
Yay! I did a thing.
You did it.
I did it, guys.
I mean, like, I'm not saying you have to lie to her. I'm just saying you don't have to say we're at the airport. We're heading to the like.
But I was honest. I was honest.
Okay. But now she's gonna see the airport on the news and be like, he said he was at the airport.
So with that, Harold tries to raise you on the radio, and he's just like,
So it looks like that thing disappeared.
Because he was watching from the control tower.
We got it.
If you need anything else from us, let us know. Otherwise, I'm going to call in ambulance and fire and try and help anyone who may have been injured. I know you guys are having a busy night. Do what you got to do. We can take it from here.
So I have a question.
Good.
Is there a benefit to us having the Ecto-1 at the Space Center? Or can we find somebody to get us to the Space Center a lot faster?
We probably could, but we have another problem. We're down a main weapon. Your slime blower is damaged. I gave up my proton pack for you to use it, so... You would have your proton pistol, but no slime blower, so we need another...
We need to fill up in everything anyway. We need to make a pit stop back at the...
We could get a helicopter to the firehouse and then drop off stuff, get the ghost in the containment unit, and then just re-gear.
And if we're going to the VAB, I need some climbing gear. The inside of that place is ridiculous.
Yes.
Do we need the ecto vehicles?
We can leave them at the airport.
The ecto one has the mobile containment unit
because it's hard to keep Druden in the traps.
Yeah,
true. How about I start heading out there? I'll start heading to the VAB now.
In the ecto one?
In the ecto one, maybe somebody could come with me. But you guys need to go get restocked up. We need like an extra proton pack or slime blow or something because we've got two damaged.
And snacks. We'll probably need. I mean, it's been a long night. We'll need to pick up some.
So
snacks.
Is there?
You can stop by some houses on the way.
I mean,
in your costumes. And
I guess we need another helicopter, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure they would give us a helicopter at this point.
If you want to talk to Harold, he says he can make it happen.
Well, I'm peacing out now. If anyone wants to come with me, I'm heading straight to
the All right, well, make sure you put the Druden in the containment unit.
Yeah.
Briggs is going to start driving with the containment unit
to the
towards
VAB.
The Space Center.
Okay, and then
the rest of us are taking a helicopter, or, I mean, however we want to do it, to the firehouse and then to the VAB.
Cool,
and we'll
let's
ride
do that.
Back with Briggs.
That sounds rad.
Got to re-gear. But is anyone coming with me, just in case I very unlikely happen to get there first?
I'll go with you.
Okay. We're going to leave the truck there. We're going to pick it up on the way back.
Yeah.
Okay, so LaForge and Briggs are going to hop in the Ecto-1.
I know the building.
And you're going to put the Druden inside. Briggs and LaForge are going to just get on their way to the Space Coast. Nina, Poole, and Wall are going to wait for the next helicopter, which I say will probably arrive in another, like, maybe 15 minutes. You can hop in. You're back at the firehouse in no time. We'll wrap things up by explaining what happens there. So you land outside the firehouse, like in the street, but there's hardly anyone out because of all the mayhem that's happening. Like, I'm there, Mr. Book is there, Alan Friedman is there. What do you guys need, and what's the plan?
I'm going to grab another slime blower.
And another pack, just in case. We need
climbing gear.
So go ahead, so pick the equipment that you want now.
Right. Yeah, because we can just throw it in the helicopter as the vehicles.
But
slime blower, pack, climbing gear, two sets of climbing gear.
Okay. I'll say, as you guys are gearing up, I'm going to be on the phone talking to more people. You guys are getting ready to go. The helicopter's pretty much ready. Before you guys leave, I say, okay, I got another call in addition to everything else. You guys are headed to the VAB. We had that PKE pulse in Casadega. No one has called about that. But we are getting calls from people at Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. Something's happening there, too. I'm still getting details. There's multiple calls coming in. That's probably the next big thing. But if you guys have a plan, go ahead and do what you got to do, and we'll figure the rest out.
I'm really happy about this. Oh, while I'm in the helicopter, is there a first aid kit?
Sure.
Can I do first aid on me and Wall?
Yeah, go ahead and do that real quick. Meanwhile, if there's any other questions, we'll wrap this thing up. Anything else? Mr. Book, he's got a couple ideas. He agrees very much on the earth, water, the air. Not really quite sure about Animal Kingdom yet. Animal, maybe some kind of animal power. Well, what did the one at Animal Kingdom look like?
It was a giant fuck off like,
bone monster,
bone tiger, cat,
bone monster. Okay, and you fought in something in the air, bat like in the air. Bone can be an element, and he seems to be working stuff together. And if the VAB is fire, he has a possible theory. He's going to go check on some things and give you guys an update.
My first aid.
Oh, yeah, first aid. Go ahead. Roll for that, and then...
13.
You can definitely heal yourself. Roll one more time to see if you can heal a wall, but it should be pretty easy.
That's
yeah, no,
better.
You got that. Yeah. So you're patched up. You can raise your traits back up to normal, and then you can take off and be on your way to the VAB, and we'll leave it there for tonight.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to Ghostbusters Resurrection. If you found our services satisfactory, please consider telling a friend, or you can rate and review us on iTunes.
As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other Nerdy Show programs alive. If you value our world-class ghost removal services, please consider supporting the Nerdy Show Network on Patreon.
Get access to exclusive bonus GBR content like early episode releases, outtakes, and behind-the-scenes discussions. Just head over to patreon.com/nerdyshow.
We're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on Twitter at GB Resurrection, as well as Facebook and Tumblr.
If you'd like to report a spook, specter, or ghost, you can leave us a voicemail at 321-209-2020.
We're ready to believe you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thank you for saving the world, Ghostbusters!
Hi, this is Bill Larido from the Southern Manitoba franchise Ghostbusters with a question again. I would have called Dr. Stance, but he won't take my calls no more since he saw me using the slime blower to unclog the toilet in our washroom. But, do you all have any experience with cases of Wendigoism? Just hypothetically, if you were on a case last Tuesday and you baby got bit by a hypothetical Wendigo, and you didn't tell anybody, and you woke up this morning, and your teammates Stanley and Pierre Catalano were missing, and there were signs of a huge struggle, and that doesn't mean you're turning into a Wendigo, right? Well, just give me a call back when you got some time, eh? I know you're all on a hiatus, but no hurry. bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.